Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glad to be in this. Good to feel your presence. To serve you, God. I love you, to live for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like for you to please, before you rest this night, would you pray for Brother and Sister Maddox's granddaughter? And she goes in for some surgery tomorrow. It's not critical, but it is serious enough. And so please remember their little, beautiful little girl, and that the Lord would touch Tony's child. And so pray for that little girl tomorrow. And also pray for Sister Trogdon. She has gone to Lake Charles for her brother's wife who just passed away. And the funeral will, is it tomorrow, Brother Trogdon? Let's remember her and the family and their bereavement, that the Lord would keep each and every one of them and bring them home safely. So please remember that. Likewise, if you will. And I want to say it's good to have Jennifer here. Jennifer, we're so glad to have you here in the house of the Lord with us. Amen. And the beautiful Spirit of the Lord that is here. Praise God. Sister Perry, it's good to have you here. God bless you. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord, shall we, together, please? I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, reading in the 7th verse. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots. Everybody say roots. By the river. And shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Also, I would like for you to turn with me, please, to Colossians. The book of Colossians. And I'm going to be reading from the second verse. Second chapter, sixth verse. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted, everybody say rooted, and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Praise God. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'd like to speak tonight upon this thought of rooted and built up. Rooted and built up. Praise God. And I feel that the Lord would speak to every one of us and to all of our hearts in this Bible lesson tonight. I pray that you are going to get something from the Lord and that the Lord will help me to teach the Word of God tonight as I feel the Lord would have it be done tonight. I'm asking for Associate Pastor Brother Wolford to come back one more time if he will, and I want him to pray over the remainder of this service. God bless you. Would you lift your hands together and let's pray as the man of God comes.
So I'll pray together again. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for what we feel in this place. God, your tender spirit moving through here. We're asking you right now, God, to open the word of life to us as you did so many times, Lord, when you taught and it went out to the hearers and they received it as students. God, move on your man tonight and give him the heart and the mind of a teacher. Give this people, God, the heart and the mind of a student that's hungry for the word. Let it be established in us, God, that we might be all that we should be in you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Some of you are tired. You have been out in the heat all day long, and you are tired. But some of you are also tired because you have been turning the knob on the air conditioner all day long, and you're weary. Amen. So I am not here to weary you one bit more iota. I am not here to be dull. But I'm not here to entertain, but I'm here to get something from the Lord. And if you are likewise, would you put your hands together one more time and clap to the Lord. Rooted and built up. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The scenes are familiar. You probably have seen them many times. I can remember as a child walking through the neighborhoods and coming across the most unusual sights. And that would be a bit of concrete that would be buckled up. And to stand there as a child and to look at that concrete pushed up and aside and then to see what did it. Some roots from a tree. And I can remember as a child thinking, how does a little piece of wood out of a tree, because I didn't even know what to call it then. I didn't even know it was a root when I was that small. But I'd sit there and look at that and marvel. But I can remember not too long ago, even as an adult, I was walking down a sidewalk. I'd seen trees do it. I knew they had massive roots. But I saw it done again, and this time it was by a bush. And I thought, as in my mind, I said, root systems are very, very powerful. Roots have been known to literally destroy the foundations of buildings. That they have to cut those roots out and rework that foundation again. Now, folks, that's power when a root can begin to move even against the foundation of a massive building and begin to destroy that thing. That's pretty powerful. But roots really are not made for destroying. When you think of a root system, you think of a source of life. Roots are not made to tear down. Roots are made to build up. Can you say hallelujah? Roots are the system whereby trees and bushes and plants might find a source of life. Not of death, but of life. Now, with those prefacing remarks, I would like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. Let's go to the New Testament. And if you have your pen, you might want to mark some of these things and make some writings in the margin of your Bible of what I'm going to make tonight. But I'd like to draw your attention to a story, a parable that Jesus was using. And we will find it in the book of Luke. I'm reading from Luke the 13th chapter and the 6th verse, Jesus speaking. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit. Everybody say fruit. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Everybody say found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now, in this story that I read to you, the Lord told it as a parable, and he talked about a fig tree that was planted in a vineyard. Now, this relates with our life and our own character and our own personality. The Lord was telling this parable about a fig tree so that we might understand our relationship to him and our relationship to the world and the life that we are living. And to illustrate that, he used it as a fig tree. Now, I want you to notice this. He said a fig tree was planted in the vineyard. Everybody say hallelujah. Now, this was with a distinct purpose in mind. The Lord did not do this by happenstance. This was not just a spur of the moment thought, but he planned this. He had a mind and a purpose. He had this vineyard set up. He had its perimeters, and he took a fig tree and planted it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you come into the church of the living God, it wasn't God just waking up one day and saying, I think I'm going to choose that man walking the streets of Austin. I'm going to take him and put him in Austin Tabernacle. I don't think so. I believe God has forethought. He has understanding and a purpose for your life and for my life. He doesn't just look upon some lady washing dishes or working in some store or department store and say, I think I'm going to take them to church Saturday or Sunday night at Austin Tabernacle, and I'm going to put them in my vineyard. I want you to know God plants you and I with a purpose in mind. I'm so glad that I'm not a crow or a raven or a sparrow. I'm glad that I'm not a cat or a dog. But I'm glad that God, in His love and mercy, chose me, made me who I am, and put me in the church. Folks, when you get in the church, you are planted by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. It isn't something God just throws you into. It's something that God, through His Word and Spirit, puts you into the church of the living God. Now, I want you to notice the story. The Bible said that the Lord of the vineyard, or the owner of the vineyard, came and visited the vineyard. There was the keeper of the vineyard. There was the dresser of the vineyard. This is the pastor. He's the one who watches over the vineyard. I want you to take note of this. The Lord came and saw this fig tree and said, I have been coming for these 3 years. I have been searching for fruit upon this one tree, and I have found none. Now, I'm going to tell you, contrary to what some people in the world espouse and propose, that God is somewhere in those great ethereal heavens, and that He has no thought about what's going on in life. And the devil will make the church feel the same way. He'll make you feel the same way. But I'm going to tell you something. God visits the church. He comes regularly. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm telling you, on a dead dull Bible study night, we never have one around here, but if we ever do, God's still going to be there. Sunday nights dragging just a little bit, and it's not a popping like we're normally used to, that doesn't mean that God is not there. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if it's as slow as molasses in a winter time falling into a bucket. I'm telling you, God is still in the midst of His people. Praise God. He comes, and He comes regularly. But He comes looking for something. He comes searching for something. He said to the dresser of the vineyard, I have been here 3 years. 3 years I have come regularly to this vineyard, and I have found no fruit. Now, I understand how many teach. I know what a lot of preachers today that have gone liberal and no longer preach the gospel as it was in the Bible days and as we've been given in the Word of God. But I'm telling you, Jesus has two sides to Him. He has long suffering and mercy. But when enough is enough, well, it's enough. Amen. And people don't talk about that. They just keep telling people, go on in your sin, doing what you want to do, live like you want to live, and you know God will put up with that. But I'm going to tell you something. After 3 years, He said, it's enough. There's no fruit upon this tree. Why let it encumber the ground? Pull it up. Cut it down. Jesus wouldn't do that. Oh. He wouldn't. He's grace, mercy. He's so long-suffering. He will endure. Let me tell you something, friends. A lot of people are going to get a shock on the judgment day. When He's going to tell the angels, get that person out of my sight. I asked them to not sin anymore, and they just kept flying. Just go ahead and get them on out of my sight. And people are going to say, where is the God of mercy? God's going to say, you knew what I asked for. Now, don't encumber my heavens. Just move them on out of the way. Let me tell you something, friend. In a vineyard, you don't look for beautiful trees. You look for trees that are bearing fruit. A lot of people outwardly shine brightly. But get around among those leaves, you don't find any fruit. A lot of people have charisma and talents and can sing like a canary and can strut their stuff like a peacock. But I'm telling you, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, the Lord's looking for some fruit. He's not looking for personality or charisma. He's looking for fruit. He wants to know, do you have the goods? Your name doesn't matter anything to me. Only the name of Jesus matters. What you have in this world doesn't matter anything to me. Only what you've done for the world that is to come. And that's why there's no big eyes or little U's in the church of the living God. Amen. We're all the same. We're not put here for beauty's sake. We're put here for fruit's sake. He said, this is my vineyard. I'm looking for some fruit. There is no fruit. Why let it encumber the ground? Pluck it up, cut it up, and put something else in its place. That's the ways of God when He's looking for some fruit. Now, let me tell you this. The dresser of the vineyard implored the Lord and said, I understand what's been going on. I know you've been here for these 3 years. Give me one more year. And let me dig it up, let me fertilize it, and maybe there'll be some fruit that'll come forth. Please let me work with it just a little bit longer. Let me tell you something, folks. When an apostolic preacher lays down the law and he preaches it straight, he doesn't do that with a whim. It's not something that he just does off of the cuff, off of the top of his head. When God gives a message and He has worked with somebody and He's dealt with him, believe you
me. A preacher doesn't stand there saying, good, can't wait to get him out of the door. Good, can't wait to get him out of the church. That's not the true way of the dresser and the keeper of the vineyard. You're saying, oh God, work with him just a little bit longer. Touch him just a little bit more. My God, maybe one more service, maybe one more meeting, maybe one more revival, maybe one more prayer meeting. He'll get a hold of something. She'll get a hold of something. Let me tell you something, church. I preach it straight, but I preach it with long suffering, enduring, and hoping and patience that maybe somewhere along the line, you'll take some root. You'll get a hold of something in the Holy Ghost. Anybody who would ever accuse this pastor of being the one that likes to see people go, you don't know me. You don't know the nights that I cry myself to sleep. You don't know the nights that I wake up in the middle of the night tossing and rolling. And names of some that have gone and have backslid and gone away from holiness, that I'm calling their name out, waking straight up in out of sleep, and I'm praying for them before I even have a thought of what I'm doing. Waking up in the morning, and some of you, it's the first thing that's on my mind. I'm thinking of you, and I'm praying for you. So help me, God is my witness. I'm telling you, the keeper of the vineyard is saying, I know you've been coming. Give me a little longer. I'll work it. I'll dig it up. I'll fertilize it. But let me tell you something, folks. It pretty well holds true. This is pretty much a truism. This is pretty much truth. After a while, when people don't show fruit, after about 3 to 4 years, they'll finally drift on out the door. That's right. When people do not take root in this gospel and produce fruit, about after about 3 years, you'll wake up one day and say, where did Brother so-and-so go? Well, he just kind of let go. Where's Sister So-and-so? I thought they were in. I just never dreamed that. What happens is after about 3 or 4 years, when no fruit really starts coming forth, God says, that's enough. I'm going to bring somebody else in their place. And if you ever get the feeling the church can't roll on without you, then you are badly mistaken. The church doesn't need me and it doesn't need you. God doesn't need anybody. He'll find somebody somewhere that'll fill the pulpit and fill the pews and live for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, no flesh shall glory in the presence of the Lord. He's going to get all the glory. He's going to get it from this preacher. He's going to get it from this saints. He's going to get it from this pulpit. He's going to get it from the pews. I'm telling you, we are planted in this vineyard to give Him all the glory. Praise God. That's your purpose in life. To glorify God and to produce fruit. And when it doesn't happen, then the Lord says, I'm ready for it to be rooted up and I want it out of here. I want you to take care of it and do it. Preach it until they go. Lay it out straight until they finally say, my path is so crooked that I can't even fit in that church anymore. I've got to go find a church that'll let me live my life and let me do what I want to do and let me sin the way I want to sin. Praise God. But I want you to notice what he said. He said to the Lord, let me dig it up. Let me fertilize it. Why did he say dig it up? Because that's where the roots are. And if the roots are having problem, he said, let me get where the roots are. And let me start digging it up. Let me get the hardness of that ground where if it rains, it can soak into the root system and the roots can pick it up. Let me dig it up. Let me fertilize it. Folks, where do you put fertilizer? You don't put it in the branches. You put it around the root system. If you're going to take care of something that's wrong in your life, you don't take care of the superficial. You get down to the rock bottom of your soul. You get down in your spirit. You get the water of the Holy Ghost. You get the washing of the Word of God. You get the fertilizer. You put something down in there where you get the life source. The life source, friend, is where the root system is. He said, let me dig it up. A preacher is not worth a plug nickel that won't dig you up. Some preachers are so smooth, they can straddle a barbed wire fence for 5 miles and never get a scratch. I'm telling you, if God would turn loose some preachers, they would have beat Clinton out for the presidency of the United States. Because some preachers only take the pulpit and pastoring as a profession. It's a profession to them. It's the way that they can have the nice things of life. And they consider it that way. But I'm going to tell you something. A real dresser of the vineyard will get him a shovel. We'll get him an axe. We'll do some cutting around and some digging around and get some things broke up, a pickaxe, and we'll get that ground loose. And hey, amen, it don't matter how much you go, ouch, ouch, oh, me, ow, oh, quit. I won't quit. I don't want you to die. I want to present this church as a bride to the Lord Jesus. And if I'm going to be a true pastor, I'm going to get down where the system is and dig it up and dig it out. Praise God. That's what Bible study is about. God, put something in our life. Amen. Put something in our soul. Put something in our system. Because I'm going to tell you this, and don't ever forget it. The fruit on a tree is determined by the root system. If the roots don't go down and have some strength to it, there won't be any fruit. When people act the way they act and do the way they do, that's only the outward that shows something's wrong inwardly. Now, I don't mean to put some of you on the spot, but I guess maybe I do. Praise God. You know, when I was young and in church, when I hear this kind of teaching and preaching, man, I was like a little bird up in a nest. I just opened up my mouth. Come by and give that to me. But as time has gone on, people now say, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. And they continue barren. They come, they go, and life rolls on. But you know what? The church is a vineyard. We're not a bus station. Amen. Kokomo, next stop, leaving at 2 p.m. Detroit will be pulling out at 6 p.m. 9 p.m., headed for Los Angeles, California. Now, I'll tell you, some of the bus announcers, they need to hire me. You don't even know what they're saying. But I'll tell you, that's the way some people think the Church of the Living God is. If I don't like it here, I'll just pull up and I'm pulling out. I'm going to tell you something. That's not the way the Church of the Living God operates. He whose hope is in the Lord and trusts the Lord with all of his heart, it said he's like a tree that is planted by the river. Planted. I said planted. He's got him a root system that's down deep in what God has for his life. Amen. Now, whether we really want to admit it or not, the focus of everything of the parable of the fig tree is fruit. Everybody say amen? That's right. What he came looking for was fruit. Amen. I want you to look back at there with me, please. And there was a problem, and there was some kind of a situation going on, and something was happening. But I want you to look back here at the scripture with me, and to the 9th verse. And if it bear fruit, well. Everybody say well. Say good and well. That's right. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. How many want to hear well done? Now, I'm not talking about steak. You know that. Praise God. Whew, folks, I got to let some of you smile a little bit here. Amen. You got to breathe a little bit. Come on. Hallelujah. Everybody say glory. God have mercy. I've nailed some of you so strong down to the pew, you ain't even budged yet. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell you something, though, folks. I'd rather hear it now than hear it then. Praise God. You know what? I got the funny feeling. I got the funny feeling around the throne. Everybody's going to be there. It's going to point at an old-fashioned apostolic preacher. And God's going to say, what's the reason you're here? How'd you get here? You're going to say, through the blood and through that old hard-headed pastor of mine. When I wanted it my way, he said, no, we're going to do it God's way. When I didn't like it, he said, just open up a little wider because I'm fixing to put some more right down that esophagus. Praise God. When I said candy, he said spinach. When I said ice cream, he said asparagus. God help us, asparagus. Lord Jesus. Well, that's tough. I can take broccoli over that. But that's what it really means when he says either you got it or you don't. And if you don't, you're going to be cut down and cast out. God's looking for fruit. I'd like for you to turn with me, and I'm not going to dwell on it. I'll teach on it another night. But I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And I'd like to begin reading here and some of the things that God really is looking for. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Starting in the 22nd verse. But the fruit, everybody say fruit, not fruits. In other words, if you're going to bear fruit on your tree, you're not going to have 3 of these and miss out 6 of them. You ain't going to have 8 of them and miss out 1 of them. You say hallelujah. Everybody listen up, because this is what people don't want to hear. Don't want to hear it. But this is what he's looking for. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. If I say love, not the gushy love, not the love of, I know you're sinning, but that's okay. God don't care. Now, that's not true love. You know what that's like? That's like telling your child, go play out on Interstate 35. I love you, child. I tell you what, I'm going to give you so much liberty. I want you to go out and play on Interstate 35. Here, take your wagon and your tricycle with you. Amen. That's not true love. Everybody say joy. Praise God. You know where you get your joy? Joy of the Lord is your strength. You get joy from the Lord. Peace. Everybody say peace. Anybody got any peace in your life? Amen. What kind of peace are you talking about, Brother Clark? I got all kind of trouble. I had a flat on the way to church tonight. And when I got that fixed, I ran out of gas about 10 blocks away. And when I reached in my purse, there was no money. Peace? I guess I don't have the fruit of the Spirit, do I? No, that's not what we're talking about. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace that passeth all understanding.
Come on, this kind of peace doesn't relate to whether you have money or don't have money. Amen? Praise God. Come on, talking about fruit. Everybody say fruit. Long suffering. Amen. I'm going to tell you where a lot of our trouble is today that we're having to put up with is a lot of people that are coming in have done away with their televisions. And they don't have them anymore, but they still got that old guiding light in their mind. And as the world turns, boy, that's going way back, ain't it? I don't even know if some of them are still, but the young and the restless, and that's not too far back, but that still goes way back. Amen. And then Rawhide and Cisco Kid, that's for some of you that goes way, way back. And even though you've been set free from it, you know what? We've got so used to living a story out in 30 minutes. The bad guy does it in the first 5 minutes, and for the next 25, the good man looks for him. And in the last 5 minutes, the good man catches up with a bad man. And in the last 30 seconds, bam, it happens. And they ride off into the sunset. And so people come in the Church of the Living God and they look around and they say, it looks to me like it's just about what I've been watching. And they feel good and get a little high. And after about 30 minutes, they say, well, what happened to me when the bottom falls out? I'm telling you, this is something that's roots. That's got to go down in the system of life. And it got to get a hold of something. It's a lifetime experience. Come on. It isn't all done in 30 minutes. You don't whip everything in 30 minutes. There's some long suffering and enduring that goes on with this carrying the cross. That's fruit. Y'all didn't know that's what fruit was, did you? You thought some of those Fruit Loops you eat in cereal on Sunday morning. That's right. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're smiling. But that's the way we live it a lot of times. And so we don't produce much fruit. Gentleness. Ooh, I better get on over that one real quick. Goodness and faith. Meekness, temperance. Better not stay too long on that. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. I'll tell you what some of us have. We have a little bit of love and maybe a little joy and a little bit of peace, long-suffering. But gentleness, you say, brother, you've got to be tough in this world. If you ain't got the hide of an alligator and you can't bark, then you're going to get run over. But if you're a Christian, you still turn the other cheek. I got about 4 amens out of that when I am surprised. I am really surprised. Y'all ain't slapped anybody lately, have you? Mother, don't lie now. Amen. Praise God. And wife, don't you be telling a story. You chased him all over the house this evening because, amen. And so we leave out. And you know what happens? I'm going to tell you something. Anybody ever seen a half a fruit growing on a fruit? Why would you look up there at that peach? There's a half a peach hanging up there. You know what you say? That is the oddest thing I have ever seen. Say, would you look at that half of a plum? You know what? That's what we do with God. I tell you what, God, I'll be long-suffering, but I'm telling you, if He says one more thing to me, I'm going to slap the pancakes and syrup out of him. 15 weeks, and I'll never forget Brother Copeland saying that. How many remember him saying that? Do you remember when he said it? My God, he said it right in the middle of the altar call. Y'all remember that? I like to lost it up here on the platform. I said, I have never heard anybody try that in an altar call.
Amen. Praise God. But let me tell you something. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, and Jesus comes looking for it. How many believes you have to have all nine ingredients in your life? Praise God. That's God's way. You got to have a prayer life. You got to have a study of the Word of God. You have to win souls. Everybody say hallelujah. Come on, everybody say hallelujah. Amen. That's God's way. But let me tell you something. When he saw there was no fruit, he knew there was a problem. He knew there was a problem. Hang on, church. Stay with me now. Let's see what he discusses about the problem. I think we can find that over in the book of Matthew. Why don't you go over there with me? Matthew the 13th chapter. Let's look here in the Word of God. Matthew the 13th chapter. Let's see what Jesus has to say about some problems. When something goes wrong, and you know the story about the seed that was thrown on the wayside and the stony ground and the thorns. Let's see what Jesus says when something goes wrong. What happens when the root system is not doing what it's supposed to do and something is taking place and fruit is not being produced? If you don't have a Bible, I want you to look on because I don't want anybody to miss this one. I want you to get it. Get your pen out. I want you to circle what I'm about to read to you from Matthew the 13th chapter, reading in the 5th verse. Matthew the 13th chapter and the 5th verse. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Everybody say, not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root. Everybody say, no root. They withered away. Now here's the problem. This is what Jesus says goes wrong. He said the seed goes out. Now folks, we all know there's nothing wrong with the seed. I said, can anybody find anything wrong with the Word of God? No, you cannot. The Word of God is pure and holy. So something happens. And what takes place when the seed goes into stony ground? The Lord says there's a problem there. It has no depth to it. In other words, it has no way of forming a root system. And when the sun comes up and tribulation comes and trouble hits them, there's no root that is going down. They have no way of getting any place in their life. You know what? Let me tell you. Let me illustrate this for you. I had a friend who had a piece of ground next to his church, and it was a barren piece of ground. Looked like nothing had grown up for a long time. So he cultivated it up, and he put seed out there for grass to grow. And he said, "I had a most unusual thing happen." Elder Sharp, he said, "This is what happened. Right out from the building, not too far from the building," he said, "oh, while I watered all that seed," he said, "there was a strip of ground about 18 inches out and down along that building," they said, "the grass sprung up immediately." He said it seemed like it was just growing quick and the rest of it took time. He said it took a long time for me to watch it grow, but that was right along beside the building, it just sprung up. And he said, and when the summer came, that took time kept on flourishing. But that sprung up quick died. And there was nothing I could do to keep it living. It died. He said, I stood there and looked along that stretch and said, this is the same piece of ground that grew up quickly. And now it's died, and I don't understand. So he got him a shovel and started digging down. And it came to where the footings and the foundation had come out that same width away from the building. And what happened is when the seed went in, he said there was only a few inches under it. And he said it just grew up quickly. There was some moisture there, and it sprung up. He said, but it had no depth of ground. That when the summertime came, there was nothing there that had a root system, and it died. Let me tell you something, friend. It's one good thing to feel the thrill of the Holy Ghost. But you watch them come and go. And you wonder, what happened? Was it the preaching? Was it the word? Was it
us? Was something wrong with us? No. They came in, and because they had no depth to them, and they were shallow, they came up for a little while, shouted, danced, run the aisles, and ran right out of the building. But you find those who hang on. Let me tell you something. I know I'm boring a few of you because I've taken longer than 30 minutes. But you listen a little while to me tonight. If you've got a mind to make it through, you're going to listen to your pastor tonight. The trials are going to come. The trouble is going to hit. But there's a lot of people that are not going to make it. I'm going to tell you why. The seed was there. There was moisture. There was soil. But it was shallow. Feel good. And you come on and you tell them you've got to be born again of the water and the Spirit, or you'll be lost. And you tell them you've got to live holy or you'll be lost. And they just feel good right on out the door. And you say, well, did they get anything? Yeah. Yeah, they got something. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's not God. It's what's here. It's what's here. You know why that it sprung up and died just as quick as it lived? The Bible said because it was in stony places. You listen to me. Folks, it ain't all what you see on the outward. It's what's inside. People get things in their crawl. They get spirits a hold of them. They get things they never can get loose of. And I'm telling you, that inside of you that wants to live has to try to get around all that junk. Break up the fallow ground. There's sometimes, friend, if it takes a jackhammer, get you a jackhammer and plunge on through that. Break on through it. Get that stony ground broke up. If there's something in your life, my God, hammer it out. Break it open. Let the root system have some place that it can get down inside. Praise God. Praise God. I have watched people come in with hang-ups. Enough of them that you could take your next wash and put it on there and it'll dry out in just a few hours. And you think they'll never make it. But because they're willing to get down in there and dig it up and get some depth to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to have room for the roots to move and to get down deep. It's imperative. And I'm telling you, if you let things stay in your spirit, it will kill your growth. It'll destroy you. I have found out there's nothing wrong with the church. The church is fine. There's nothing wrong with God. God is well. And He's still on the throne. He and crippled, He and decrepit. I'm telling you, my God is healthy. And the Holy Ghost can still do miracles. It's in us. Let's go on over in the Scripture and let's look at it. Verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter. Read there with me, please. I want you to look at it. Verse 20 and 21. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. Yet he hath not root. Everybody say root. In himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the Word. By and by, he is offended. Look out. Woo! I've been preaching long and I've seen some people literally turn red. They may not have had much fruit to bear, but their ears looked like beets. And I said to myself, I said, "Ooh, you done something, preacher. I don't know what you did, but you did something. You uncovered some stone." Well, you know what I did? I just backed up and creeped away and said, "Better not touch it." No, ain't what I did. I just bore right on in there. Oh! Hound dog on the trail of a coon said, "My, my, my. Woo, my Lord, done put him up a tree. Wonder what's wrong." Hey, either we mean it or we don't mean it. Either we're going to play church like everybody else, or we're going to have church. Either we're on our way to glory with a made up mind, or we might as well just go home and turn the light down. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I won't go much longer. I did tell you beans and cornbread, didn't I? Well, praise the Lord. It's just whether you really settled it or not. Let me tell you something. Here's what he said. He said he hath no root in himself. Everybody say in himself. Everybody say in myself. Everybody say in myself. Christ in you. Is he in you? It's in yourself. So how deep is it going to go? How deep are you going to let it go? I'm going to tell you something. Here's the way most people are. Said, "Let somebody else start the victory march and I'll jump in on it. Let somebody else pray and then I'll get a blessing." I'm going to tell you, those that God's looking for is they who can stand alone when everything else is against them and say, "I can do it by the grace of God." Folks, anybody can do it when a crowd's around them holding them up. But after a while, we got to let go and see if you really got the goods or not. You know, sometimes I got to take the bottle out of your mouth and put some steak in and see, has he grown up any yet? It's in you. A lot of people say, "You know what? That sister so-and-so just bothers me to no end." No, that's not the problem. It's in you. You let her bother you. You let that person, you let them make you angry. It's in you. What happened? They had no root in themselves. Praise God. I'm going to say this, and some of you know it, and some of you don't know it, and generally this is true. Every massive tree, in all of its glory, whatever you see on the surface, however far that limb stretches, is how far the root goes underground. Did you know that? It at least goes as far as the furthest limb. I'm telling you, whatever you want in God, that you want God to manifest in your life outwardly, you're going to have to get it first in the Spirit. You're going to have to get it in prayer. Everything beautiful and wonderful that happens in your life outwardly started somewhere in a prayer closet or on a 3-day fast or in the Word of the living God. I'm telling you, folks, shallow people don't get anything in God and they don't bear any fruit. But when you see those old mothers in Zion with gray hair upon their head that have been over the meadows and through the valleys and over the hills, I'm telling you, in the Spirit, there is something that happened in their life. They had some root in themselves. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's got to happen inwardly before it ever happens outwardly.
Well, I can see I'm boring a few of you because you've never really had the joy of really praying and really praying. I could ask you something. Have you ever prayed 1 hour and got up and had your watch and said, you know what, I've just got to go. I've got this appointment and I've got to go do this. And you turn to walk out the door and feel the Lord say, don't go. Don't go. I've had my hand on the doorknob, pushing the door open, leaving this tabernacle. And the Lord said, don't go. Stay. I was just getting to enjoy our relationship today. Ooh. Oh, that's real. Oh, that really is real. Oh, it's true. It happens all the time. After 3 hours, I get up and try to go, and the Lord says, must you go so quickly? Must you leave right now? Could you stay a little longer? Lord, I've been here 3 hours. He said, son, what's time when it's you and I together? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come, O gentle Savior. Talk to me, Lord. Let this world go strangely dim. Shut me in with you, God. Oh, Jesus. Speak to me, God. Oh, let me feel a little more of what I'm feeling right now. Jesus, come. My God, and after about an hour, half of that, hallelujah to the hair standing on the back of your head. Solo korman dalobohosaya. Oh, and you got goosebumps on top of goosebumps. Hallelujah. Sometime you walk and sometime you gotta kneel and sometime you gotta lay flat on your face. Sometime you cry and sometime you laugh. Sometime you just stand there with your hands lifted for 15 and 20 and 30 minutes at a time and you just feel the glory being poured into your soul. Hallelujah. My God. And you feel like you've gone past the first heaven and the second heaven and you're in the third heavens. Oh, Jesus. And hallelujah. Holy, holy. Holy is the Lord. And something inside is breaking up like a river. And you feel it flowing. And English no longer can satisfy. And you talk it in tongues. And after a while, you even pass that. And not even words or tongues of men and angels can satisfy. And you just sit there. Oh. 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 Ha. Ha. Mmm. Oh. Mmm. Oh. And it's on and on
and on and on and on. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Would you like to lift your hands and just say thank you, Jesus? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now you see why I am what I am and teach and preach the way I do. I'm telling you, nothing can buy this. Church, the unction of the Holy Ghost is in this place. Woo! My God. My God. Come on, lift your hands. The deep calleth unto the deep. Before you gotta go up, you gotta go down. Before you ever spread those mighty limbs, you gotta stretch those roots. Ha ha ha! He cuts on the heart. Ho! Woo! Somebody close your eyes. Somebody open your spirit. Oh, Maria, come on to the tata. He came under the sea. Holy. Come on, holy. Come on, holy. Hayalalabahaya. Halalabosatayalabahaya. Come on, somebody praise him. Come on, somebody praise him. Halalabosukandayalabaha. Hayan hasi. Hayanahasatolo. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Tell him the Holy Ghost is moving on you. Stand to your feet, Cale. Lift your hands. The Spirit of the Lord is moving on you. Come on, the Spirit of God is in the... Oh! Oh! Praise God! Come on, somebody! Somebody put some roots down! Somebody dig up some old stony ground! Somebody get some depth in your soul! Hallelujah! 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 Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hololoboko torobo shalamandia rosandayakaya. You may be seated. Kilololobo sotolo koremandayakaya. Hallelujah. God's waiting on you, young preachers. God's waiting on you. God's waiting on some of you sisters. God's waiting on you. One of these Tuesday afternoons, it's going to break out. Oh, people are going to be waiting. It's going to be 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Where's my wife? What's she doing? And the phone will be ringing off the hook up here. But it ain't going to be nothing but a bunch of women in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One of these Saturday nights, some man is going to break out. Hallelujah. 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock. We got church in the morning, but nobody cares. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, Sunday school going. People already still here. They've been here. Started Saturday night before prayer meeting. Come on. Oh, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got so many things in our way. Jobs and homes and cars and pleasure. Gotta go do this and do that. We have to work. That's how you put bread on the table. But I'm telling you, there's some things we could do without. We don't have to have some of the things we think we got to have. My God, why can't we spend more time putting some roots down in the Holy Ghost? Why don't some of you men come up here for 2 and 3 hours in the Spirit of the Lord? I'd like glad to hear some of you when I walk in here sometime in the middle of the night. Oh, oh, ha-la-la-la-ba-ha-ya. Woo! Something's moving in this place, church. I feel the presence of the living God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anybody feel like getting up out of that pew and walking down here and lifting your hands? It ain't for everybody. It ain't for everybody. But I'm telling you, I feel something for somebody. Anybody feel like getting... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my soul. Oh, my spirit. Come on, somebody hunger after God. Come on, somebody hunger after God. Come on, somebody get down here quick. Somebody get down here quick. Whew. This is God. Holy Ghost is in this place. Somebody get down here quick. Somebody come quickly. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Oh, come on, I need some young men. I need some young ladies. I need some saints. Come on, everybody ought to... Oh, my! Everybody ought to come. Oh, my God. Come on, church. Come on, men. Not just a few minutes. In the presence of the King. Oh. Jesus. Oh, do you have to go so soon? Do you have to leave? I feel the Holy Ghost saying, do you have to go? Can you stay a little while? Oh, come on. He said, I'm enjoying talking to you. I'm enjoying you loving me. Come on, men. Come on, young preachers. My God in His presence. Some of you are too cold. You're too cold hearted. Give me room. Give me room. Get out of the way, Spirit. Get out of the way, Stony Ground. I gotta have some room. Oh, I gotta have more of what I'm feeling. Come on, saints. Something's breaking. Don't stop now. Come on, close your eyes. And open your heart. Help our young ladies. Help them, God. Help our young men. Help the saints. Come on, church. Jesus. Do you have to go? Do you have to go so quickly? Oh, could you stay? Could you stay a little while longer? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. My God, my God. Oh. Oh. Oh, God, not everybody knows. Not everybody understands. Oh, my God. Church, before you're ever built up, you're going to have to be rooted. Rooted and built up. Come on. Oh, my. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Could you love Him? Could you love Him? Could you love Him?
I know some of you don't feel anything yet, but that's part of letting the root system go deeper. Amen, amen. Don't let that discourage you. That means your root system needs to go deeper. Brother Clark, I don't feel anything yet. That's good. That's a warning. That's God letting you know you need to let your roots go deeper. You can't feel this. You can't feel this. You need your roots going deeper. Oh, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, let me hear your voice. Speak to me, oh, God. Oh,
In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Tell him, call me, Lord. Tell him, call me. Call me to prayer. Tell him that, church. Tell him that. Ask of him that right there. Say, Father, my prayer tonight is, I want you to call me to prayer. Call me. Call me. Call me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus. My God!
Would you reach over and pray for your neighbor right now and say, God, put their roots deep in this. Oh, put their roots deep in this. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Come on, pray for one another. Come on, pray for one another. Oh, pray for one another. Oh. Oh my God. Jesus. Jesus. Oh. Oh God. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Themselves. Oh God, teach me to wait on you, Jesus. Oh God, Selimaroto Rebekaya Darabai. Oh God. Oh, God. I'm in a place where even words or tongues will not suffice. The root system is so deep in my spirit that even words will not suffice. How many love to talk to Jesus? I said, how many love to talk to Jesus? How many love to talk to the Lord? Oh God.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God.
Hear from you. We must hear from you.
That we can live.